The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The advice and opinions expressed by the host of Autism Live and her guests are meant solely as suggestion and should not be in any way construed as child-specific advice. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
Good afternoon and welcome. I'm trying to do that thing that I'm always trying to do, which is to share it on my Facebook. Hey, I'm Shannon Penrod, and you don't normally see us at this time of day unless it's something really special. Guess what? It's something really special. You know, we love to feature wonderful artists here on the show whenever we have an opportunity to. We love to talk about young people on the spectrum and the amazing things that they do. You know that we, and this fits all of those categories, but additionally, you know that we love us some Kobe Bird here at Autism Live for so many reasons. We've known Kobe since he was 15, 14. I don't remember when the first time we had him on the show. And he was just starting on his acting journey. And then we watched someone get emotional. We watched as he turned around and got an agent. And then he started booking shows. We watched him on Speechless. We watched him on The Good Doctor. And then we've been watching him the last couple of years on Lock and Key. Well, Kobe has been on the show many times before. And he has also done red carpets for us where he hosted the red carpet on our behalf. So he's worked for us before. And we couldn't be prouder of him. He's one of the nicest people on the face of the planet. Such a talented, good-hearted young man. So he's joining us, and he couldn't be with us during our regularly scheduled programming. So we had to make time for him. You know what I'm saying? When you have Kobe Bird, you make time for him. So we're doing a special live show today, and we will re-air it tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, during the regular time that it would have played. But you guys had asked and said, can we please have Kobe live? So we did that. Michael, saying hello to you from Philly. Thank you for joining us so much. But because it's at a different time, I'm also concerned that more people won't know about it. So if you're watching, I really want to encourage you to share today's feed and share it on your social media and let other people know who are fans of Kobe that he's here and that he's live. And I'll be asking him questions. You guys will have an opportunity to ask questions, and it will be all fun. So right now we're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and about a dozen other sites. Traven's starting to show you where we're live right now. Don't forget, though, that this will podcast. We're going to re-air it again tomorrow during our regularly scheduled time, and then it will podcast directly after that to all the places where you get your podcasts. It'll be a free download. We are the number one rated autism podcast because of the work that you guys do on our behalf. You watch, you share, you like, you let other people know, you review us on iTunes, all of which really helps us out. So, and it's because of having guests like Kobe who really super make a difference. So thrilled that you're here. Melissa, I was just talking about you during this morning's show, putting it out there about standout advocates and how amazing you are. So hi to you. And you might want to put, you know, how people can reach you, standout advocates, because earlier on Ask Dr. Doreen, we were talking about how amazing you guys are and what you guys do. So thrilled that you're here. Absolutely thrilled that you're here. But we are doing our regular show, so I have a little business to take care of beforehand. And also want to plug, if you haven't seen enough of me today, remember that today, later on today, we're doing an Ed Talk with Dr. Temple Grandin. They're over at the Ed Asner Family Center. They do their monthly Ed Talks, and we're like so honored to be a part of this one because they're doing the best of. And so Izzy Paskowitz is going to be there talking about Surfer's Healing. Chelsea Darnell is going to be there talking about Movie Chat with Chelsea Darnell. Matt Asner and Nava Paskowitz Asner will be there. And of course, Dr. Temple Grandin. So I'm not planning on saying much. I'm just going to sit there and nod my head a lot because there's so many other, but you know, so nice to be included. That's happening at 5 p.m. Pacific time. If you're keeping track, that's 8 p.m. Eastern time. And you can just go to the Ed Asner Family Center on their, any of their sites, Facebook, YouTube, or their personal website and tune in and watch. And you could be asking Dr. Temple Grandin questions there too. But right now we're here on Autism Live with the Autism Network and we're going to be here with Kobe Bird in just a few minutes live. You guys can be writing in questions for Kobe right now. And I don't want to forget to tell you that on Friday, we have this amazing thing happening that I'm so proud of. We are debuting for the first time ever, our newest show in the Autism Network family. It's called Stories from the Spectrum. It is all content that is by and for a neurodiverse world. So I love it because you won't hear my face yapping at you. You'll get to hear solely from people that are artists. Artists like, you know, the artists that we're featuring here on the show today, Kobe Bird, which brings me to the next thing. You know, Kobe's been on the show before. And one of the times that we had Kobe on, I get so excited and I'm a talker from way back when. And one of the times that we had Kobe on when he was very young, you know, I'm just that mom who was just so excited to be talking to him. I didn't let him get a word in edgewise, which is pretty much what I do with a lot of our guests. I'm working on it. What can I say? But a lot of people who were Kobe fans wrote in and said, seriously, what is wrong with this woman? Why won't she let him get in a word in edgewise? I felt terrible about it. So the next time he came on, I promised that I would tape my mouth shut so that he could get in a word in edgewise. And it's become this joke between us. So I have my tape ready. If we need it, all you guys have to write into the chat and say, Shannon, give him a chance and I will tape my mouth shut. I don't have the world's worst tape in the world here. I even didn't put on lipstick in case we need it. So that's coming up. But first, let's take care of a little business. Want to remind all of you what we're here for, which our mission here is to provide information and inspiration. That's really what it's all about. And that's for everyone who is in that larger autism community. What do I mean when I say that? When we talk about that larger autism community, it starts, of course, with individuals who are on the spectrum. They are the beating heart of our community. They're our reason why, right? They're at the heart of everything and need to be guiding all the decisions that we make and the topics that we talk about. But in our larger community, we choose to include everyone who is on the spectrum and everyone who loves them. Because we feel that in that larger community that we have an opportunity to have all the stories be heard and have more. I mean, what I want is eventually for that to be the whole world, right? That should be the whole world. We're still working on that. But if we can put our hearts and minds together, we're not going to agree on everything. In fact, we're not going to agree on much because this community is big. It's bold. People have different needs, wants, desires, individuals, right? But we can agree on a couple of things like respect and love and consideration and empathy and the right to work and the right to love who you love, right? We can agree and safety. We can agree to the human rights, all of it, right? And together we have that bigger voice. So that's what we're here about. I do tell you that we have lots of experts that join us here for the show, and I'm not one of them. My credentials are that I'm a very proud and grateful pony that is a parent of a neurodiverse individual. And as we say now, a pony. Have to have the dance move with it. A pony. I'm a parent of a neurodiverse adult individual. Hello, Melissa. Melissa from McAllen. We're so glad that you're here. So those are my credentials and the fact that I care deeply and feel that karmically I need to pay forward the help and support that was given to me. So Teresa, hello. I know you guys are here to see Kobe Bird. He's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. We just have to take off here and do our jargon of the day. couple of little business, and then we'll bring Kobe in here. So those of you who watch the show regularly know that we, on Mondays, and this will be the Wednesday show, we do Jargon of the Day. This is because it's so overwhelming, right? No matter who you are, when you come into this community, there's a whole bunch of words and phrases that nobody has any idea what they mean. So we try to give them to you one bite at a time. We give you first the actual definition, and then whenever appropriate, we make fun of the actual definition, and then we give you a working definition, which we hope will be a way to set you on the path to understanding. You need to be gentle with yourself if you don't understand it, because we've all been there, right? We've all been there. And it's a work in progress. But what we do find is when you begin to understand some of these jargon terms, it can translate into more support. It can translate into saving time, saving energy, saving money, and making more progress. Less headaches, less stress, right? So that's why we do this. And we try to make it fun and interesting. So let's take a look at what our, and remember, it could be word, phrase, acronym. Let's take a look at what our jargon of the day for today is. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid. We'll get through it. Oh, appeal process. And of course, we're talking about the insurance appeal process. Could there be a less fun or less interesting term on the face of the planet? But the reason why we're doing this today is because it's that time of year. And we're hearing from a lot of families that have recently gotten a denial from their insurance company for treatment that they've been receiving or that they wanted to receive. And a lot of people, they get that denial and they go, well, that's it. And I felt like it was very imperative that you guys know that that's not it at all. In fact, that's sort of just step 13 out of like a 20-step process before you get services. So let's take a look at what the actual textbook definition of appeal process is. Probably not going to be that much help. If your health insurance refuses to pay a claim or ends your coverage, you have the right to appeal the decision and to have it reviewed by a third party. You can ask that your insurance company reconsider its decision. Insurers have to tell you why they've denied your claim or ended your coverage. And that came fresh off of healthcare.gov. Okay, that's what it says. That's what the law of the land is. If your insurance company denies anything, now we could be talking about chemotherapy or, you know, anything under the sun, but you, of course, we're here, it's Autism Live. We're talking about some of the services that you would get for yourself or for a loved one for autism. And we see on a regular basis that people get denied. And sometimes when they send the denial, you just get a denial and say, this claim has been denied, right? But always on that letter, there is a place where it says to appeal this decision, and then there are instructions. If it doesn't, then they are actually in violation of the law. You have rights, though. And the first thing, if you get a denial letter, that you should do is ask for an explanation of why you were denied, because this is how you build your case. I've gotten ahead of myself. So this is the actual definition. Let's see if what we have for our working definition, because I think this is the heart and crux of the matter here. The necessary steps to get what you were entitled to. Don't give up. Follow the steps. Ask for help. And this, I'll tell you right now, we're seeing this across the board, that families, and for various and sundry reasons, let's say your child is turning 8 or 10 or 12. I don't know why they like the round numbers. They will write back and tell you, oh, well, you know, we're denying you had coverage, but we're denying coverage, and we actually were denying it at back to their 8th birthday. So we'll let the last 3 months since their birthday go, but we're stopping it this week. First of all, if you watched Monday, we talked about continuity of care. They can't just be ripping things away from you. Call them and say, wub, 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 we want to appeal and we need continuity of care. While you're appealing, they have to continue the services. Woohoo! We like that to begin with, right? But then here's the other thing that I want you to know is that there are set steps to this. So you follow the instructions, you submit whatever you have to submit for the appeal. I know we all think we need a lawyer at this point. A lot of times you do not. Just follow the instructions, because this first appeal, this is a secret, don't tell anybody I told you, it's kind of a throwaway, because here's the deal. The first appeal is an in-house appeal. So somebody put the denial stamp on it and that worked for your insurance company said, we deny this. And when you do the first appeal asks the same people who denied it to look at it again and see if they'd like to change their mind. How much do we think they're likely to change their mind? Probably not. Most of the time we see that the first appeal is almost an automatic denial, but you kept the services going through that denial. And when you get the second denial letter, remember each time you ask on what grounds. And a lot of times, this is crazy. I know, again, shh, don't tell that I told. They will send you the reason why, and it will state right there whatever it is that's actually against the law. It's super fantastic when they do that. So make sure you get the letter from them that says, why are they denying you? Like, we will hear from people, you were denied because your child is 8 or 10 or 12, and they can't do that. You might have a state law that says they can do that, but guess what? The federal law says you can't do that. And so then we write back in the appeal and say, you can't do that. Here's the MAPIA law that says that you can't do that. And then we see sometimes it reverses before we have to do anything else. But more often than not, it will go to a second appeal process. Do not be fatutzed by that. Don't be surprised. Don't be dismayed. It's just one of the necessary steps. And remember, you're asking for the continuity of care the whole time. So they're dinking around, but you're still getting your services or your child is still getting your services. Now, on the second appeal, it has to go to somebody who does not work for your insurance company. It has to be someone who is independent, who looks at it, who knows what the laws are. We have seen over the last 4 years that most second appeals have the services reinstated. The person who's petitioning wins most second appeals. But ask yourself this, why do they make you go through all this? Because how many people know this and how many people stop after the first denial and how many people stop after the second, the very first one, and then after the first appeal, how many people stop? How many people actually know, oh, I'm going to have to stick around for the second appeal? So that's why we wanted to make sure that we told you this. Hello, Helen. So glad that you're here. This is important. It's also part of the reason why we tell you make sure that you're keeping your paperwork all in one place. I know a lot of people who keep a scanner and scan everything in, and then they know where to find it. But make sure that whenever you get a denial, that's a piece of gold. Look to see what the reason is. If they don't tell you the reason, ask them for it in writing that day. Don't wait around, and also tell them I'm appealing. We want continuity of care while I appeal. And then you bought yourself time. Then you can start to figure things out. But you know, this is what makes the difference of whether you can keep coverage and keep getting the services that you want to get. So I love this one actually translates into stuff. I love, love, love that jargon. All right, let's move on to our question of the day, shall we? Because we're getting ready for Kobe Bird. He's coming in just a few minutes, you guys. Have you ever been shortchanged by your insurance? Do you ever feel that you personally have had something that was in your plan that you should have had covered, but your insurance said, I don't think so? We know that this happens. I don't want to speak ill of the insurance industry, because when they do their jobs and do them well, sometimes it translates into us getting the necessary things that we need to get for ourselves and loved ones, right? But it's an industry, and not everybody in the industry understands all of the rules, and it's a money industry, right? It's not a nonprofit industry. And when it's our loved one, we want to make sure that the decisions that are being made are about their healthcare, not about how much it's going to cost our healthcare. Right? So wondering how many of you have ever been shortchanged by insurance. I certainly have had that happen, where we had to hold their feet to the fire. And then when we did our process, we got what we needed to have. So there you go. All right. And then on to our topic this week. I'm very happy about this topic. It goes right hand in hand with all of our guests this week and with our debut of Stories from the Spectrum. Our topic is art as a form of communication. We're moving into this new office, and there is a beautiful painting that is probably being hung right outside this door right now that is done by artist Nicholas Kontaxis, who is a brilliant painter, who's having a great deal of success in the art world. And it is a large form of how he communicates is on the canvas. And to see one of his paintings, especially he does these amazing large scale paintings that get purchased in office buildings. He makes a tidy little living as an artist. To see them, oh my goodness, it's so clear what he's communicating and what's going on with him, right? I don't think we could ever look at one of Nicholas's paintings and disagree with the statement, art as a form of communication. But you know, also we cover a lot on the show about how much the arts can help people to be able to express themselves. And I'm talking to everyone. And everyone includes individuals who are on the autism spectrum. Funny little thing about that. So anyway, that's really what we're talking about. So our guest today, oh my goodness, I could not love this young man more. Oh, before we get to him though, we have a commercial we have to play. Thank you, Traven. So we're going to have one word from our sponsor. And then when we come back, we're going to be here with the fabulous Kobe Bird. You know him from the many things, but most recently from Netflix's hit show, Lock and Key. He is delicious. So watch this and then come back for Kobe Bird.
My Z-Pod, it helps me sleep.
It's easier for an autistic person to sleep in there.
A Z-Pod helps me sleep better.
So Z-Pod allows for complete control of your sleep environment.
The big idea is, how do we help people sleep better? I'm George Bailey, and I'm the president of Z-Pods.
My name is Jeff Wade, and I am one of the co-founders of Z-Pods.
I like that I can close the Z-Pod and that it's around me so nothing can come in there.
Micah is 10. She was staying up for like 3 days at a time. We tried weighted blankets, melatonin. We've tried a sleep study because we thought she had sleep apnea. My experience with the Z-Pod has been wonderful. Micah's sleep has changed tremendously. I'm getting more sleep because she's getting sleep.
Because of her autism diagnosis and her schizophrenia diagnosis, she was up all night.
And I wasn't doing well in school. I used to sleep in a closet.
That was the only place that she was feeling comfortable at the time. Since she started with the Z-Pod, her sleeping has improved. The first night, she was in bed, on time, and asleep.
My son, Juden, he's neurotypical. It takes him 2 hours to get to bed at night. But with Z-Pod, it's completely transformed his sleeping.
With Joseph, he's autistic. He's very high energy, high anxiety. Joseph would just bounce around his room all the time at night. Joseph has been using his bed now for almost 2 years. It has become like a real nook for him, just a place where he just feels restored.
Helped him decompress, helped him wind down.
I read in my Z-Pod, I play games in my Z-Pod.
Now that he's sleeping better, I think that all of us are sleeping better. We have taken all of the suggestions that we've received from parents about how we can improve this technology. And we've put together a really exciting new bed that we're going to be releasing onto the market.
So we've partnered with a local manufacturer who's invested into Z-Pod.
We've got speakers in the new Z-Pods that will allow you to play nature tracks or meditation tracks.
We're going to be creating what we call a sleepscape, where the sleep environment changes according to your individual preference. What we want to do is we want to give a name to sleep that gets kids excited to do this thing that is critical to their health.
I could recommend it to good people. Have you ever slept in a Z-Pod?
Welcome back. I'm so excited to welcome our next guest because Kobe Bird, honestly, one of my favorite people on the face of the planet. There is nobody sweeter. There is nobody nicer. He's so talented, so good-natured. And we've known him for many years. He's been a part of Autism Live almost from the beginning. So excited to see his journey as a young artist, as a young actor, starting out doing theater things, then going into television, being a guest star on Speechless, then being the first actually autistic actor hired to be on The Good Doctor. I don't know if you guys remember, but that was such a big deal. And he was so young even when that happened. And then, of course, we were so excited when Netflix cast him on Lock and Key. We've been watching him for the first two seasons. Now, something happened the other day. Netflix put out some information about season three, which is, we don't know when the date is coming, but it's coming. It's already been filmed, of Lock and Key. And they told us the sad news that Lock and Key, that the third season is going to be the final season, that the story is coming to a close. But they also dropped a bit of a bombshell. We saw on Deadline, in the article, they identified the principal cast. And there in the principal cast was Kobe Bird. Now, for those of you who don't live in Hollywood and don't understand, you know, how these things work, Kobe had been a series regular before that, but then he had been bumped to principal cast. It's a ginormous deal. As far as I am aware, it is the first time in mainstream network television that has ever happened to an actor on the spectrum, that they went from being a regular, like a wonderful regular, but now upgraded to be one of the principal cast. It is a ginormous deal. We're so excited. He can't tell us, but we're keeping our fingers crossed that means that we're going to see more of Rufus in season three. So who am I welcoming? And then I'm going to shut up. Kobe Bird is here with us.
What's up? Kobe. Hey, how's it going?
You just are such a ball of energy. I love you so much. So Kobe, this is probably, I can't even imagine how long you have been sitting on information. And of course, there's more information you can't share with us. But I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you anything about season three. We're just going to have to wait to see it. But there are secrets that you get told that you can't tell anybody for a long period of time. I don't know how you handle that.
It's tough because for the longest time, people would ask us, when's season four coming? Is there going to be a season four? And all I could say was, you never know. So I can't say anything yet, but how do I say this? Spoilers for those of you who haven't seen season two. So at the end of that season, Ellie and Rufus reunite, and there might be a chance you might get to see Rufus, but that's all I can say.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we know that you're in season three because they released that on Deadline. Yeah. So I can say that without being offed by the powers that be, because it's been released. We know that you're in season three. We know your principal cast. We know that, you know, that suggests certain things, but we don't know too much about it. But I'm just, for you as an actor, Kobe, when you realized, first of all, like, what was there a moment when you realized that you were being upgraded and that you were getting, are you allowed to talk about that? Maybe I don't even
I'll
know.
Be vague. I'll be vague. Yeah. So
okay.
When I found out that I was part of,
gonna have
because
more. Yeah.
I started as a guest star on the show. And then that's when I was a part of regular cast, but I was speechless. I am speechless most of the time, but I was speechless. I couldn't even process what was happening. But no, it was amazing.
Well, we certainly, you were away for quite a long time because you almost filmed season two and three back to back, right? There was what, like a couple of weeks in between?
Yeah, and we had a so. When I was going to Toronto that time of the year, I was pretty much only doing this. I was only doing one scene, and we thought we'd be there for a few weeks, but then things changed, and then we were there for a lot longer. Yeah. So there was a hiatus in April, and then season three officially started filming in May. So then that's when everything begun.
I can't even imagine, for those of us at home, you know, we just see the magic. And if you guys aren't watching Lock and Key yet, then I'm just going to have to spank you. You need to be watching Lock and Key. It's so delightful. It's so much fun. It's a mystery, but it's funny and it's serious and it's a little creepy and it's a little eerie, and you can watch it with relatively young kids. Jonathan is writing and saying, "Hey, Kobe, I'm a big fan of you."
Hi, Jonathan.
So glad to have you here.
I love the show.
Spread the word that Kobe is here live, because this is when we're not normally live at this time. But, you know, what we need to remember, those of us who are watching this amazing, and it's high tech, like there's so many wonderful elements to it. It feels a little like there are elements of it that feel reminiscent of Harry Potter, but
yeah, it's very Harry Potter. Like it's a mission between it's like a mission between Harry Potter and Spider-Man Chronicles and a bunch of other things. Like I can't think of, but it's very,
there's a little bit of Scooby-Doo.
Yes, exactly.
There's a little bit of Scooby-Doo.
Very Goonies too.
Because there's a little bit of humor in it that is, that we as a family really enjoy. And I don't know about you guys, but I love it when there's something that the whole family can sit down and watch together and get on different levels, because there's stuff about it for the people who are keeping track. Boy, I'll bet you have some fans that geek out on some of the things that are to keep. And there's accoutrement, there are keys. I can say that because it's lock and key. Yeah.
So for those of who don't know, it actually is an adaptation of a graphic novel, and I actually read them before I got the role, so I was very familiar with it. So I know pretty much most of the story. I know all of it, and it's loosely based, so it's kind of in a lot of ways its own story. But there still are a lot of things that are from the comics that are put into the show. So for the fans of the graphic novels, they'll probably get the references and stuff here and there.
And it's beautifully shot. Oh my gosh.
The special effects.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy, crazy good stuff. And you've been a part of, you know, if people watch season one and two, you've been a part of some pretty incredible things. And I hate to give spoiler alerts, but if you haven't watched season two by now, shame on you. You know, by a vowel, dim the sound down for just a second. Because for a great part of season two, you're someplace else, but you finally get to come back at the very end for this very emotional thing that had us all on the floor, Kobe, had us just sobbing.
When we shot that scene, because it was during when COVID was still really high and really intense. So social distancing was a thing. It was intense, and that hug, that was like the first time we were able to break away from our chains and just the emotions that we all went through.
It was amazing.
And that was just practice. That was just rehearsal. So it wasn't even part of it, but just that first time we hugged, it was like being back in time, because we were so used to being in our bubbles, and finally being able to be outside. It was wonderful.
I mean, you guys, this is the point that I was trying to get to is that you guys were doing this in the heart of the pandemic. Season two and three, all shot in the heart of the pandemic. And when I hear people first of all, let me say this, Kobe. Congratulations to you, because you have been just beating a path through all of the objections. When I think about when you were 14 or 15 and you were on Speechless and we were like, oh my gosh, they actually cast somebody who was on the spectrum to play somebody on the spectrum. It was almost unheard of at that point. Were you 15 years old? How old were you?
I was 15, yes.
And then fast forward to, you know, not that further down the road, then, you know, you got cast on The Good Doctor. And again,
that was a thing.
And I don't say this lightly, Kobe, but I feel like you were carrying the entire artistic community of the autism community on your shoulders when you went up to Canada to shoot that, because you came back and suddenly everybody knew that the networks knew you can cast people who are on the spectrum. They're absolutely capable of doing
really
this. You blazed a path that everybody's benefiting from now. We're all benefiting from it. And I love that now you've benefited from it greatly, and that even on your show, you got bumped up to principal. I just absolutely love this, Kobe. You were talking about your mom on the show. Fantastic actress. What is the name of the actress who plays your mom on the show?
Sherry Somm. She is one of the most amazing people I know. I've been working with her for most of the show, and just getting able to know her, she's like family. She really is. And she's just one of the kindest, sweetest souls.
I love that you guys have that connection. And I understand that she gave you a gift that is like your favorite thing under the planet now. Is this true? Tell us.
Okay. So story time. So back when I was in Toronto of last year, I love everything vintage. I love retro things, and I collect cassette tapes. I have a bunch of Walkman, and recently I have an old PlayStation 2that I still play all the time. And when I was there, I was trying to find a boombox because I wanted something for my cassettes. So we went through a few thrift shops, and I didn't find a boombox, but I did find a copy of The Empire Strikes Back on VHS, and I got that immediately, and I was ecstatic, and as soon as I got that, I thought, well, I need a VCR for this, and next thing I knew I wanted to get a VCR. So we went to almost every thrift store in that area trying to find any kind of VCR. But as I went, I'd find a tape, and then I'd find another tape, and then another tape, but still no VCR. So one day on set, me and Sherry were filming on a rig, which is a car that's rigged on a truck, and pretty much we're stuck in the car for hours. And it takes a lot of patience because you're pretty much there the entire time. There's cameras through the windows. It's a lot. So during one of those scenes, me and Sherry were talking, and I was telling her about the VCR, and then about an hour later, she said to me, I'm going to my mom's house in Ohio. I just realized she still has her VCR there. When I go there, I'll see if I can bring it to you. And I was overblown with joy. I was so happy. It was amazing. A month later, also on set, she brings me the VCR, and my mom has a picture of me with the VCR. I'm sitting on my chair looking at it like I'm an 8-year-old at Christmas. I just held it speechless, having no idea what to say. I was so happy.
Love that VCR. So the other day I saw you posted, there was a contest for people to decide what was the first movie that you watched on it. What was the first movie you watched on it?
Empire Strikes Back, because that was the first one I had. So that was like the one, because that's probably one of my favorite movies of all time. So I knew that was the one to watch it on. And then I had a few others, but that was the one I wanted to watch because I know that was the perfect, that was the perfect debut.
Yeah. Can I tell you something horribly ironic, Kobe? I have like 6 VCRs in my garage.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yes. What? If I had known you needed one, I even have VCRs that have like the CD player next to the DVD player next to the thing, because I used to convert old VHS that people had to CDs and DVDs for them. So I have a boneyard of, because I had to have it to transfer the stuff. Yeah. So I have a bunch of them in my garage.
That is so cool.
Kobe, if you'd like to come visit sometime. I'd love to. There we go. And I said to you the other day when I saw that you had one, I have tapes too. Because we had them. Like I have all the old Rankin Bass Christmas cartoons, all of them on VHS, Kobe.
What?
I know. You'll have to come over and check it out.
For me, it's Christmas every day.
I know. But you know my husband, and he's like, why do we have these? And I'm like, because someday we're going to need them. So anyway, we have them. So there we go. But there were... I love that you're into retro things. I think that is super fun. But there, you found some new things that you're into while you were filming Netflix. I hear that something about a paddleboard.
Yeah, so...
Tell me about that.
So I learned how to paddleboard way back in Toronto. One of the women who did my makeup, she was a paddleboarder and she wanted to teach me. So she taught me and that was wonderful. I was a lot better than I thought I was going to be. I thought most of the time I was going to be falling over, and I only wiped out like once or twice, but it was a blast. And then I didn't do it for a while, but then I went back to Hawaii for a month and I actually did it again. And it took me a while to get back into it, but after that I wanted to be on the water for hours. Just, I was having the time of my life.
Amazing. That takes a lot of balance.
It does. Oh, trust me.
I'm sure that I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But another thing that takes a lot of balance and something that you really hadn't done, correct me if I'm wrong, until you were in Canada, was ride a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the longest time, I've wanted to, I could never ride a bike because of my autism. It was just a hard thing for me to do.
What was hard about it? Do you remember?
The bouncing.
Okay.
And back then when I was a kid, I was so involved in my autism that I couldn't understand it. And my mom had tried so many times to get me to learn, and it just never happened. So pretty much I resorted to just riding a three-wheeled bike, which was fine. It wasn't an issue. But about a few years ago, one of my New Year's resolutions was wanting to ride a bike. So that was on my list. And in Toronto, there are all of these rent-a-bikes on every block. And one day I just thought, you know what? This is my chance. I'm going to take it. So it was in April during autism awareness. So one night me and my mom went to rent a bike, which actually was like right by our residence. And I was there for almost about 2 hours just learning. And like with paddleboarding, I picked it up. And when I thought it would have taken me weeks, I actually learned how to ride fully. And then the next day, my mom had an idea to go. So in Toronto, there's, on Lake Ontario, there is an island called the Toronto Island, and it was off season. So no cars, nothing. It was practically a ghost town. And I rode 8 miles the next day. And it was just, I wanted to ride for 20 miles. I could have done 100, honestly, but
wow.
No, but
so Kobe, for people who, I mean, you know, you're friends with my son, and bike riding was really hard for him too. Yeah. And it is for a lot of people.
It is.
What do you think made the difference? What do you think clicked? Was it just that you were a little bit older? Was it that you took a little bit more time? What do you think clicked so that you could suddenly be able to do it? And I say suddenly because it still took you time, right?
As I've gotten older, the one thing my mom was telling me was, no matter what, you're going to fall down, expect that. And I think expecting that, I was able to know, okay, you know what, I'm going to fall down a lot. I just need to know that. But the thing is I got to get back up if I want to learn this. And I was determined to learn because I really wanted.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think the desire has to be there.
Exactly.
And you were really motivated. And it's recently you rode bikes with my son and you were just so kind. You're such a good teacher. And
he was amazing too.
He did better than he's ever done before, but I think he wanted to be able to do it so that he could go do it with you. And I think that desire to do it has as much to do with anything with success. So maybe the takeaway for those of us who are parents is that if our kiddo is being stressed while doing it and says, I don't want to stop, mm-hmm. maybe that's, we listen to them and don't push it and wait. And that, look, years later, you came back to it and wanted to do it. And now you're proficient.
Yeah, I'm doing
you ride
it, yeah.
everywhere, right?
I love it. Oh yeah. I actually have my bike here right now, and I'm adding all the stuff to it. I love it. There's a lake over by our house that we always go to, and it's wonderful. And then there's Balboa Park where I always go to, and it just trying to find places because it's in LA, it's a lot different than Toronto. Toronto is way more bike friendly. LA, not so much, but
yeah,
you know,
we need to get that way. We need to get that way in LA. But it's, you know, you brought up a couple of different places, and I think this is remarkable too, Kobe, that you, in the last couple of years throughout the pandemic, you weren't always living at home. In fact, you were living in two vastly different places. You lived in Canada for a good portion of the pandemic, and then you spent time in Hawaii as well. I'm wondering, you know, what that was like for you, and any insights that you have for us about how different it is in different places to live, especially during the pandemic.
So, yeah, so for my entire life, I've pretty much stayed in California. Yeah, I've been to Hawaii a few times as a kid, and I went to Florida, but I never actually, but only for about a week or so, and that's pretty much it. I never stayed for longer than that time, so it was new to me. So, but the fascinating thing about living in those different places is that I never thought I'd live there for that. I never thought that I would stay there for that long. And it's that surprise you get. Oh wow, I'm actually going to be here for a lot longer than I thought it would. But also, it's amazing because I was in Hawaii for 4 months, which was just amazing. I was, and it was a lot of work too, but you know, but it was wonderful. And I loved being able doing all these new things, learning new things. I learned how to sheep herd.
That's amazing.
I learned how to drive.
You got to put that on your resume. Yeah, that's going to come in handy for some film.
Exactly.
You need a sheep herder and you have experience.
I gardened every day, just all of these things. And, but also it was pushing me out of my comfort zone because I wasn't used to being out in the red dirt, being out in the water. And one of the big changes was one day it was pouring rain. I was going to the beach with my mom and suddenly just started to pour rain and I just let loose and I got out and the water getting on my hair, my clothes, just the dirt, everything, the sand. If I were a lot younger, I would have never done that, but I pushed myself and it was one of the best days of my life. It was just being out in the rain, being free, just enjoying myself. I loved it. And then there was a sheep herding. Then there was work doing all of those things, being able to push myself out of my comfort zone was wonderful.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
And Toronto too, but Toronto was 7 months. So that was pretty much where I was living. That was my home. And so many things happened in those 7 months that I will never forget. That is a time in my life that I will never forget. It's just because it changed my life. It brought me out of my shell even more, and it changed my life. And that is something that I will never even try to forget because that is what made me now.
Absolutely. It's a part of your heart. It's a part of your being forever. And I'm sure that part of it is what you were doing there, but I want to ask you, and tell me if this is a hard question for you, what is your favorite thing about Toronto?
Everything.
You can be a politician. That was a good answer. There's no one thing. What's the thing you miss the most? If you were going to Toronto today, what would you do? Or what would you eat? Or where would you go?
That actually is a hard question because there was never one thing. But yeah. I will say one of the things I miss.
Okay.
Toronto is so allergy friendly. I'm gluten free and dairy free, so it's been a part of my life since I was five. It's been me, and Toronto. Oh my goodness, they're just amazing. There were so many places that I could go to that I could have most of the stuff on the menu. It was wonderful, and there was one place that we would order from called Rizlan St. Clair, and it was a Thai place, and they had pretty much everything on the menu, and one day I got it. It was It's probably my favorite restaurant of all time because it is just everything there. Like it's amazing. There are days now where I would just be sitting on my couch watching TV and then suddenly I'll see something and then I'll think, I miss Riz. I want to go to Riz. And that is one place that completely am
about. So it's called Riz.
Riz on St. Clair.
Riz on St. Clair. If anybody goes to Toronto. Okay. And then what about Hawaii? What's your favorite thing about Hawaii or what's the thing you would do if you were there right now? And obviously you have relatives there that you would see and whatever. Let's leave them out of it. Just the Hawaii experience. What's your favorite thing?
I love it. See, I love it because where I was staying, it was on a small island called Molokai. It's between, it's a Maui country. So it's right next to Maui and Lanai. And it's a really tiny island, 30 feet long, a 30 miles long, not 30 miles long.
Yeah, 30 feet would be very small. You don't have to stand on one piece of dirt. Okay. I make that mistake all the time.
It's a very tiny island, only 7,000 people.
Wow.
And it's like being in a small community because it's, but the thing is that everybody, it's almost like one big family, but also it's just the feeling of aloha spirit and just having that positivity, but also in many ways, it's very meditational because there would be days that I would just go on drives with my mom on the east end because on the west end it's all dry, it's all red dirt, it's all out in the country, but then on the east side it's all jungle, it's all tropical, and there would be days where we would just go driving on the east end and it was just being able to feeling the wind, just driving on the road and just looking at everything. It's just it's amazing.
It's got to be a different pace than it is.
Oh yeah, compared to LA. Yeah, compared to LA. Oh, it's big. It's huge. but it's also just a wonderful place, and that's somewhere I consider my home because when I'm there, I'm so comfortable. I'm so relaxed. I'm myself.
Yeah,
and I don't have any peer pressure or anything like that because I'm going with the flow, just being able to do things at my own pace, and it's amazing. It really is.
It's amazing. Amanda has sent you some blue hearts, and Jennifer Page Marrero has sent a kiss emoji, and Jonathan said that's cool, Kobe, and I know you have autism just like me, so that's amazing.
Oh yay.
Yay, indeed. I want to know, one more question about Hawaii. You didn't tell me what's your favorite food in Hawaii. Oh, see, I love that face you made.
That's even harder because I love fish. Pretty much anything fish related I love. And that was,
I have seen you eat salmon. Yeah. You can eat salmon. Oh,
I love fish. Yeah. Even more so than meat. So,
now, do you also like seafood or just fish?
Oh, seafood too. Oh, yeah.
See, Jem's more into the seafood, although he'll eat fish. He loves salmon, but not as much the fish. He's more into the seafood. But anyway, so you love all that, and that's plentiful in Hawaii.
Yeah. So, and it's...
Is there one dish or one fish or one...
You know, there's, you know, every... Because almost every night we would make a meal, and it just... There are so many that comes to mind, but almost every day my mom would come back and she would bring me poke, and I love poke. Like that poke has been my muse since I was 15. Like I love it to death. And
we gotta go sometime and have that because Jem has never had that.
Yeah.
And he was asking me the other day, and I said, oh, Kobe eats that all the time. And he was like, really?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I love it.
So we'll have to do that.
Oh, definitely.
I don't understand what the difference between poke and pho is.
So pho, like pho noodles.
Yeah.
So pho noodles, but then, but poke is raw fish. It's a seasoned raw fish. It can be tuna. It can be salmon. It can be anything. And I know that not everybody likes raw fish, and that's totally fine. I personally love raw fish, but it's raw fish. But you can add rice to it. You can add furikake. You can add spicy mayo. Any kind, like just anything you want. And that's the amazing thing about poke. It doesn't have to be fish. It can be pretty much anything you want it to be. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
You need to do food reviews, Kobe, because when you talk about food, it gets us all excited. And I have to say, too, your mom is an amazing cook. We featured her recently on the show. And I'm going to say this for the first time here. I've gotten your mother to agree to be on the show once a month with me, to co-host with me once a month. And she's hopefully going to share some recipes with us, because she does small kitchen, big flavor. You guys should be following her on Instagram. While we're paused and talking about Instagram for a second, Kobe, can you put up on the screen, because there's lots of ways for people to follow you, Kobe. You're on different, and Amanda says, she says, I follow your mom on Instagram. And Maribel says, hi, Kobe. So where's the best place to follow you? We're putting up your Instagram right now.
Yeah, perfect. So you can follow me on Instagram at the Kobe Bird. Facebook, also the Kobe Bird. And then Twitter, Kobe Bird. Sometimes I forget my usernames because there are so many that it's hard for me to keep track. But there we go.
They're on the screen. The Kobe Bird. Fantastic. Okay, so we're almost out of time here, Kobe, because time flies. I can't believe it. And we're at the end of Autism Awareness Month, which is often, I find it's a little exhausting, Autism Awareness Month, but partially because we have to explain for the whole month why every day and every month is Autism Awareness Day and Month, right? But what's the one thing in closing that you wish that you could convey to the world about you and about autism? What would you like them to know?
All right. So for me, autism awareness is every day, every year. It isn't specifically just a single month. For me, it's every day of the year. It's every hour, every minute. And I might have a different thought process. I might speak differently. I have issue getting my words out. But the thing is that I'm just like you. I have the exact same thoughts as you. And in a lot of ways, we're all different. But I want people to know that I'm just like them. I have similar struggles. It may not be the exact same, but there is some familiarity to it.
Absolutely, and that you're a beautiful human being who is an artist in your own right. My goodness, Kobe, how successful you have been. I can remember sitting in the studio all those years ago and you declaring to me, you know, you were 15 and I was saying to you, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And you were like, you must have thought, who is this crazy lady? Can't she tell I'm an actor? And you were like, I'm planning on being an actor. And I was like, oh, well, good for you. And by the way, Dina says you're so right, Kobe. And Maribel is saying hi, Kobe, too. But I remember being so excited for you that was the path you were on. I don't think we realized that in a matter of months, you were going to be a professional actor working in the highest echelons of success in the field. Because that's percentage wise, that isn't normally what happens. But I gotta say, you have something that's unique and fabulous. And I don't even know if your fans know that you're also quite a singer too. So, and when I see you perform, there is something about you, Kobe, there is a light that shines through your skin. Till the day I die, I will remember when we did a benefit once for Corey Feldman was the MC of an
yes.
event. And you sang, yes. and it was the most amazing thing. You were singing, and there was just this, you're like an angel. It was coming out. And he turned to me and he was like, who is this guy? He's amazing. I said, I know, right? And he was like, somebody needs to do something with his talent. And I said, don't worry, he's got an agent.
That's unreal. Corey Feldman telling.
Oh, it was so evident.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, it was so evident. There was just this light that was coming out of you. It was otherworldly, Kobe. We're so excited for you in this journey that you're on. We know you're just getting started, so we can't wait to see all the things that you're going to do. But we don't have a date yet for season 3 of Lock and Key, but we're waiting.
It's coming.
Minute we have that date, you know, we'll make sure that you guys know and that you're tuned into it. But if you haven't watched season 1 and season 2, boy, have you got a treat in store for you, because it's just delightful. You'll be on the edge of your seat. There's so much suspense. There's mystery and so much more. There's even a little romance in the thing. So we didn't even say Kobe is playing the role of Rufus and one of my favorite things about Rufus that Joanne Lara said is that Rufus has a job. And she was so excited about it. She was like,
yeah.
How amazing is it that Kobe is playing this wonderful character and that he's employed? I love that that was her takeaway from it, right? But you're a pivotal part of season 1 and 2. And as we said here, it has been revealed that you are principal cast for season 3. Yay. Couldn't be prouder of you, young man. Make it
really
a difference.
Thank you so much.
I'm beklemmed. But our time is up. Thank you so much for being with us. I adore you.
Absolutely.
You know
it is always a pleasure being on here with you. I always have fun with you. I've been here from the beginning. And I cannot wait to be back on here again.
Well, you've got me all beklemmed. We're gonna go. But I wanna before we go, excuse me. I wanna remind everybody on Friday. We're going to be featuring our very first episode of Stories from the Spectrum that is content all created by and for neurodiverse individuals. So I know I'm so excited about it. It will be during our regular time on Friday. So make sure that you guys tune in for that and support all these wonderful artists. We'll be back then. Until then, give your kiddos a hug from me and one for you too. Bye, Kobe.
Mwah! Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.